Okay, looking at the class now with false doctrines, and we've been looking at Mormons. Okay. And shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being able to study your word. I pray that you'd help us now as we study this cult of Mormonism. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we've been looking at last time about the Mormons believe that mankind came from a relationship between God the Father and a goddess mother. In the Articles of Faith by James Talmage, page 443, he had said, I quote, "There is a mother God." And then in Mormon Doctrine, page 516, I quote, "God is married to his goddess wife and has spirit children," end quote. And so we saw last time that man was not formed by a physical union between God and some feminine deity. God created man from the dust, and God created woman from Adam's rib. So there was no physical relationship whatsoever to produce mankind. But we find in the scriptures that in Jeremiah's day, as we saw last time, that they were making cakes to the queen of heaven. And so oftentimes in false religion, you will have these feminine deities. So that's part of Mormonism, and it just shows their heathen practices. And let's look then in Jeremiah 44, 15. Jeremiah 44, 15. And we'll look here about these feminine deities here. Okay, 15 through verse 30. "Then all the men which knew that their wives had burned incense unto other gods, and all the women that stood by, a great multitude, even all the people that dwelt in the land of Egypt and Pathros, answered Jeremiah, saying, As for the word that thou hast spoken unto us in the name of the Lord, we will" what? "Not hearken unto thee." Doesn't that sound like today? "But we will certainly do whatsoever thing goeth forth out of our own mouth, to burn incense unto" who? "The queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our fathers, our kings and our princes, in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For then had we plenty of victuals, and were well, and saw no evil. But since we left off to burn incense to" who? "The queen of heaven, and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things, and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine." And when we burned incense to" who? "The queen of heaven, and poured out drink offerings unto her, did we make her cakes to worship her, and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men?" Then Jeremiah said unto all the people, to the men and to the women and to all the people which had given him that answer, saying, "The incense that ye burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes, and the people of the land, did not the Lord remember them, and came it not into his mind? So that the Lord could no longer bear because of the evil of your doings and because of the abominations which you have committed. Therefore is your land a desolation and an astonishment and a curse without an inhabitant as at this day." No, God did not approve at all of this burning this incense to the queen of heaven, to a false deity. He was not happy at all. And so the Mormon religion has incorporated this feminine deity into their doctrine. And it's it just shows that it's a heathen religion is what it shows. Okay, so there is no such thing as a feminine deity. That's all heathen practice. Okay, then we switch here to the Trinity. And this here comes once again from the Articles of Faith by James Talmage. And I quote him. Remember, this is Mormon doctrine. It says, I quote, "The Trinity is three separate gods, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That these three are separate individuals, physically distinct from each other, is demonstrated by the accepted records of divine dealings with man." Well, God is not three separate gods. Let's look, please, in 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. 1 John 5:7. The Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost." And these three are what? One. They're not three separate gods. They are one God in three persons. One God in three persons. Then let's look in John 10, verse 30. John 10 and verse 30. Jesus said, "I and my Father are what? One." I and my Father are one. And then James 2, verse 19. James 2, 19. "Thou believest that there is what? One God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead?" So even the devils believe that there is one God. Even the demons in hell. And of course, some are bound in hell. And all demons are bound for hell. There are some demons that the things that they did caused God to confine them already. But there are many demons, many fallen angels who are free to roam the earth, just like Satan is free to roam at this point. But even the demons know there's one God, not three. So it would be very foolish to say, "Oh, many gods know." Look at Deuteronomy 6:4. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4. The Bible says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is what? One Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might." So we don't serve three gods. We serve one God in three persons. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43 in verse 10. And of course, this passage right here is where Jehovah's Witnesses get their name from, this passage right here. And it proves them wrong, but Jehovah's Witnesses also, like Mormons, do not accept the fact of the Trinity, three persons in one. So God says, "Ye are my witnesses." Remember what I said? Jehovah's Witnesses, they get their name here. "Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was what? No God formed, neither shall there be what? After me." So there's only one God. There wasn't any gods formed before him nor after him. "Yeah, I am the Lord, and beside me there is what? No Savior." I am the Lord. See the capital, all the capital letters, Jehovah. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. So there's only one true and living God. And then in 1 Timothy 1:17. 1 Timothy 1:17. So we're looking at the fact here of Mormonism. Mormonism is not like Jehovah's Witnesses in the sense that if you get on Jehovah's Witnesses' site, they do not try to cover up what they really believe. They will lay it out that Jesus is not God. But Mormons, they've revamped what they have online. It's more difficult these days to find out because the Mormons want to be considered as mainline Christianity, whereas Jehovah's Witnesses don't want to be mainline. I mean, they want to be the main religion, but they don't want to make everybody else think they're just like them. They want to tell you their differences. Mormons are not like that today. They don't want to tell you their differences. They want you to think they're just another denomination of Christianity. How deceitful. Okay, 1 Timothy 1:17. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So he is the only wise God. There's no other gods. He is the only true and living God. Okay, so Mormonism with its feminine deity, a mother god, and God the Father having a physical union, that's heathenism. That's not Christianity. That's heathenism. And then showing their true colors here, they do not believe that God is one. They worship three gods. Okay, then heaven. This comes from Mormon Doctrine, page 348. They say, and I quote them, there are three levels of heaven, telestial, terrestrial, and celestial. Okay, so the celestial kingdom, and I quote, this is from the source of Wikipedia, and it's talking about Mormon doctrine. So they say of Mormons that the celestial kingdom is the highest of the three degrees of glory. It is thought by the LDS Church, and that's the Latter-day Saints. A lot of them don't like to be called Mormons. They say, we're not Mormons, we're Latter-day Saints. So it is thought by the Latter-day Saints Church to be the third heaven, referred to by the Apostle Paul in the King James Version of 2 Corinthians 12:2. Well, let's look at this here. We don't want to just throw out references and have no idea about what is being said here. So okay. So this is Paul speaking. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. So he's having this vision. He doesn't know whether he's really there or just God is showing it to him, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So, in Mormon doctrine, it says it is said to correspond to the celestial bodies and the glory of the sun, this third heaven. Okay, and the inhabitants, I'm still reading from this article, on Mormonism. And I continue to quote, the celestial kingdom will be the residence of those who have been righteous, accepted the teachings of Jesus Christ, and made and lived up to all of the required ordinances and covenants, that is, of the Mormon Church. I continue to quote, individuals may accept and receive these ordinances and covenants during their mortal lives. Uh-oh, what does that mean? They may accept and do these things while they're alive on earth. Yeah, here comes another part. And I continue to quote, for those who did not have the opportunity while living, they will have the opportunity in the post-mortal spirit world. So this is the Mormon is teaching that after death, Okay, well, you didn't live for God. You weren't a Mormon. You weren't baptized in a Mormon temple. You weren't married in a Mormon temple. But hey, there's hope. It says, for those who did not have the opportunity while living, they will have the opportunity in the post-mortal world where they can accept ordinances performed on their behalf by the Latter-day Saint church members and temples. What is this? You know, Mormonism is much like Catholicism in that prayers for the dead, paying money to try to get people out of purgatory. The Mormon church is very, very similar to that in this teaching. People have a chance in the post-mortal spirit world. After death, they have another chance, they say, to accept ordinances performed by on their behalf by Latter-day Saint church members and temples. All children who die before the age of 8 automatically inherit the celestial kingdom without the reception of ordinances. So they're saying that a child who dies before the age of 8 years of age, will just go to the highest heaven automatically. I continue to quote, the celestial kingdom is the permanent residence of God the Father and Jesus Christ. So, I'd just like to, before we close, we're about out of time here, but in Luke chapter 16, do people have the chance after death? Do they have another chance? To obey the Lord after death? Absolutely not. We come to Luke 16. And of course, sometimes people say, but this is a parable. That's what Jehovah's Witnesses will say, but this is a parable. This does not say it's a parable. But even if it was a parable, what do parables teach? Do parables teach truth? Or do parables teach error? Well, the answer is obvious. Parables teach truth. This does not say it's a parable. These people are named. It's not just a fictitious story. These people have names. Well, we don't know the rich man's name, but we know the poor man's name. If a Jehovah's Witness or even a Mormon tries to say, well, but that's a parable, just ask them, well, what do parables teach, truth or error? Teach truth. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named what? Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Notice there is no burial mentioned, just that he died. No mention of anyone carrying his body anywhere except the angels carrying him to heaven. The rich man also died and was buried. Someone did carry his body to burial. Someone took the time to bury his body. And in what? In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So the minute he dies, the moment he dies, the rich man is in hell. I want you to notice something else too. We're given the name of the beggar. I have to back up here just a little bit further. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. So we know his name. But it just calls the rich man the rich man. The rich man also died and was buried and in hell. You know, that's the opposite of today. We know the names of rich people. We've heard the name Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Warren Buffett. We've heard the names of these very wealthy people. What's the name of the poorest person on earth? We don't know. No one knows. No one knows who is the poorest man. But a lot of people know the name of the richest people. But in eternity, their name is meaningless, worthless. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham. Notice he calls him Father Abraham. No doubt this rich man in hell was Jewish. He's calling him Father. Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. That's interesting. Even the rich man calls Lazarus by his name. You know, the Bible talks about when we die, we shall know even as we are known. You know, when we get to heaven someday, we're not going to have to wear name tags. Everyone's going to know who we are, and we are going to know who everyone else is. We're not going to have to search and say, where's Moses? Could someone please introduce me to Moses? I'd like to ask him some questions. No, we're going to know each other's names. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am what? Tormented. Tormented in what? This flame. Is there real fire in hell? Yes, indeed. But Abraham said, son, once again, no doubt this man, this rich man was Jewish. Abraham even calls him son. Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art what? Tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. So Mormon doctrine is talking about this proxy thing. You know, you can, if someone dies, and they were not a Mormon, or maybe they were a Mormon, but not a good Mormon. They didn't keep the ordinances. The Mormon teaches that, well, another Mormon can do certain rites and things and fulfill ordinances in a temple, and that will be counted to the person who has died so that they then can go to the third heaven. No. Lazarus was not allowed to come and help the rich man in hell. And now he realizes his own eternal fate. And so now he turns his attention to his relatives back on the earth. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So this matter of trying to send someone back to help them? No. Abraham saith unto them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Well, Moses and the prophets were not alive at this time. So he's talking about the scripture. They have Moses and the prophets, those holy men of old that God used to write the scripture. Your brothers need to listen to the Bible. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, Abraham speaking, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. There's no proxy thing. Notice in Hebrews 9, if a person dies without Jesus Christ, that is sealed. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So whether it's Mormonism teaching this proxy, obeying ordinances and doing rites for the dead to try to get them up to the celestial kingdom, the third heaven. My friends, that's no different than the indulgences of the Catholic Church, trying to pay money to the Catholic Church for the dead, hoping to get them out of purgatory into heaven. This is the same principle, just heathen teaching. It's not correct at all. When we die, there's the judgment. And this, by the way, this verse also deals with Hinduism, who teaches, you know, trying to live a good life and then die and then being reincarnated, hopefully to higher and higher and higher levels. No, my friend. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is no chance after that to try to increase your standing eternally. To die without Jesus Christ is to be immediately in the flames of hellfire with no way out forever and ever. Well, we're out of time. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. I pray you'd help us, Lord. We know that Mormons now try to hide their doctrine. They used to be more open. Now they hide it. They just want to be known as another denomination of Christianity. Father, please awaken thy people and show them the truth. Whether it's Mormonism's false feminine deity, or whether it's the false hope that there's a way out of hell, there's a way to get to the highest heaven if someone on earth will just perform acts in their name. Oh, Lord, help people to understand now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Once they die, it'll be too late to make a decision. Lord, help us to reach them. Please bring many Mormons out of this false religion. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.